I did a message. It's one of the most popular messages ever, but Jesus talked more about it than any other topic, and that was that hell is a real place, and real people are going to go there. And if we don't understand that, it's not hell is not to scare you. It's not to put fear in you. It's to motivate you. It's to motivate you to get out to those doors. And I would love to put you on the spot and ask for a show of hands, but I won't. Of how many people saw someone that they normally would be upset with, or get angry at, instead that you are filled with compassion? That's the goal of talking about hell, because the person that you're getting angry at, the one that maybe is leading you down a path of anger and frustration, wouldn't it be awesome if the Lord filled us with compassion for that person instead, knowing that because of the condition they're in, there's a real place, there's consequence for sin, and Jesus paid that for us. And I could go through the whole gospel like I did last week, not going to, because it's just review, but we talked about impact. We need to make a better impact in our community. And you know what? We can make an impact in a lot of ways. We did the carnival. We're doing outreaches. We're doing, we do a lot of little things throughout the year, and next year we're adding a couple more to it. And we want to make a bigger impact in our city than we are now. But the greatest impact we can make in Martinsville and our surrounding communities is winning people for Jesus. Getting the gospel out there in a tangible message. You know, in Mark 16, it's tangible. Go out and preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick and watch them recover. Cast out demons. Mark 16 is clear. The gospel should these signs should follow those that believe, it says. We ought to be believers who are the miracles are following us out to the streets. Wouldn't it be awesome if the presence of God was not just in the church, but because he's in us, it went with us, and we were filled with compassion. And Kenny did a great job a couple weeks ago talking about compassion. Matthew 9, one of my favorite scriptures. Jesus was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he healed all that were there. And this is what we've got to start doing. We've got to start seeing people the way Jesus sees them. He sees a lost person as lost, not as a homosexual, not as an adulterer, not as a liar, not as a cheat, not as a whatever label you want to put them. Jesus clearly sees them as someone who's lost, it has no shepherd, and they've lost their direction, they lost their way. And so instead of picking on one sin or another and making this sin glorified, this one bad, this one, instead it's, Jesus, let us see the heart of that person. We can show them a compassion, and so nobody ever has to go to that place called hell. And I know last week it was pretty heated, and I even teared up a few times thinking about this horrible place that was not created for human beings, but created for Satan and the ones that rebelled against God. But instead, there's humans rebelling now, and there's a place that is going to be of permanence and real. And it ought to shake us to the core in compassion. So I don't care how angry you get with somebody. And I talked about how we desensitized the word hell. Last week, when I was watching an interview, I told you after a football game. I don't know, man. They played a hell of a game. Really? A place, a lake of fire? Anguish, turmoil, gnashing of teeth? We can desensitize words and so they don't mean as much anymore. Or, boy, I really had a week of hell. Really? Have you seen what and when we desensitize the word, we desensitize the meaning of it. And therefore, when we think of somebody going to hell, we think, oh, they're going to have a really bad day. They must have a really bad week. No, it's a bad eternity. That never ends for these people. Because we have to do a better job releasing the kingdom of the good news of the gospel to them. Not just life insurance or fire insurance, but we offer them life insurance instead. Life abundant, John 10:10 type of life. That Jesus came to give you life and life more abundantly. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And we got to rescue those people. And I read that quote last week, and I'll close my review of this. Hold on. I like Charles Spurgeon. He says this: if sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go unwarned or unprayed for. This ought to fill this church with compassion so we make a better impact in not just our communities, but our workplaces and everywhere we go. This morning, we're going to talk about how this church wants to do a better job empowering you. If you look at the New Testament, you're going to find a model of the New Testament church that is very non-existent. We have a lot of practical things that we're supposed to do as believers. We have a lifestyle we're supposed to live as believers. We have a lot of things that we're commissioned to do as Christians. But very few times you see in the New Testament how a Sunday morning church service ought to be structured. And if you get, I've been for 3 months watching Bethel. I was at Keith Moore's church a couple weeks ago when I was in Florida with my parents, and I was able to see this, and I've been watching online services and try to go to a different service here and there, just trying to see. And I want to give you some good news. Tradition isn't just in the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church. It's right here, good and alive, right here at Spirit Life Church, too. Tradition, believe it or not, holds more than what the Bible says about what we should do on Sunday mornings. Tradition does, and the Bible warns us not to get foolish, vain traditions, but doesn't say all traditions bad, by the way. But nowhere in Scripture does it tell us you ought to do 25 minutes of songs. You're not supposed to use, some churches say you don't use instruments, yet the whole Old Testament's full of psalms and hymns and singing and dancing and drums and loud voices and stringed instruments. There's all types of Scripture that talks about instruments, so we believe them here. But there's all different ways to worship God. It doesn't mean that this is the best place for everybody. It means this is the place for me. And then what, as the pastor, and I get to enjoy, you know, yesterday was a privilege. We had, those that know Tyler Knispel, I had the privilege of doing that wedding yesterday. And we saw Tyler come in here. And you know what? I want to see a church that reaches more Tylers. Half of this church right here helped raise Tyler. Tyler was a young man who was born into a life that he didn't deserve. But instead, God raised up a woman that she's not here. Is Debbie here? No, she's not here. Okay. To adopt him in. And though she had to move back down here, the church was able to step up. Her brothers and in this room, families, bought him Christmas and took him here and gifts and raised this kid. I mean, yesterday, and there's I knew Amy was in here. I mean, Amy pretty much became the mom of Martinsville for him when she was in our, and I watched this kid yesterday get married. And I thought, and it brought tears to my eyes to think, this was a church that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of a church that when a drug addict wants to have a baby, we can help that child have a real life. In a church, in a home that doesn't just say, oh, poor Tyler, and says, come on, Tyler, grow up and walk along. And he's still got some, I mean, those that know, he's still Tyler, and we're still going to work with him a little bit more, okay? But he's married now, and today they're on their way here any minute to go to Gatlinburg, and they're going to be, he's going to be married and living a new life together. And not a lot of people in Martinsville are going to have that chance that were born the way he was. We can make a bigger impact, and then we have to do a better job equipping these people so they don't just go back to the lifestyle they could have come from. We have a responsibility to be a church that's more than a Sunday morning meeting. But what does our Sunday mornings look like? What do we do? And I did that as a side note, by the way. That had nothing to do with my notes. I was going to try to tie it back together, but that's like, I might as well stop and forget it. It's not going to work. But Sunday mornings are going to be different no matter which church you go to. But for the next 20 minutes or so, I want to share with you what God's put on my heart and our leadership's heart. And we had a meeting last Saturday morning with all of our leaders, and we shared this vision with them. I had a chance to share it a little bit on Tuesday night with some of our other prayer people. And I would like for you to hear my heart on what I believe God wants to do in this church the next season we're in. And it's my passion, it's my heart. And it's also something that when you're sitting here going, well, there might be some questions. I encourage you, rather than leaving here and going, I don't really know if I like that, rather than saying that, would you please pick up the phone and give us a call? There's nothing debatable in here at all. It's actually, to me, it's amazing. It's like I'm excited for it. But at the same time, I think it's going to build something in this church that's going to catapult us to do greater things in this community. And so one of the missions I would like to set out there for is I want this church to honor God's presence I want to honor God's word, and I want to honor God's people. That is the new, not new, but this is the releasing of a vision I want to give you, that on Sunday mornings, our vision for this meeting is to do those three things: honor God's presence, honor God's word, and honor God's people. How do we do that? Well, let's jump into some scriptures. But before we do that, though, open up to Acts chapter 2. And I'm getting so excited, I'm getting ahead of myself. But Acts chapter 2, we see what happens this is the New Testament model we have to start from. And I want to hit starting at verse 43. This is after they got thousands saved. This is after Pentecost, right? I mean, like the same chapter as Pentecost. And this is the same time, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, people getting saved on the streets, 5,000 here. And it says, and the Lord added them daily, you're going to see. And then it goes on to say, verse 43, and fear, not a bad fear, but a godly, holy reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. We want to see that, right? And all that believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, we can stop for a minute on this one. We're thinking the vision we're going to add on to this one is the fourth part of the vision is we're going to all sell our property and go out to shoemaker's land. They got acres and acres. Sell our... No. Okay, so they might have done that. I'm not saying we have to, but I'm saying, but what they did do, if you take out the meaning of the text, they got together, and when somebody had a need, they met it. The church wasn't just a church that met on Sunday mornings, and if you want to come on Monday nights to men's or women's group, you want to come on Tuesday nights to this, or you want to come this. It wasn't just that. It was, and you'll see throughout Scripture, they didn't just meet on a Sunday morning. They had fellowship and relationship outside the church, and they were able to help people that had needs. So it wasn't socialism, because I don't want to get political, because I'm not a socialist. But here's what happened. The ones that had sowed into the ones that didn't. The ones that were able to be blessed because of others that were giving. And that's the way the church ought to be, is we ought to be able to give and be a part of a body of believers who want to help their neighbor, love their neighbor, and be that. We can do a better job. I think we do a good job, but we can do a better job with what the church looks like. But this so far is what the church was. Verse 46, and they, the Christians, new believers, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Folks, that's not a bad model, is it? They went to the temple every day, though, so we're going to kind of work on that a little bit, daily church. Then after that, they went from house to house breaking bread. These are people who had relationship in and outside the church. So there is a difference between temple Sunday morning worship and outside fellowship worship, but they did it in both places. They even broke bread in homes. And the New Testament model isn't just home churches. There is a temple gathering of the believers to come together. And what does that look like? Well, and why do we, by the way, this is a really good question. If you open up to Acts chapter 20, why do, up to this point, they went from the temple day to day, but they were supposed to still honor the Sabbath, even though Jesus was changing this. But the New Testament church made a decision. In chapter 20, verse 7, it says this. When the disciples, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Now, I don't know how early they got together, but that's a pretty long church service, if you ask me. They got together, and they had church. And then they had lunch, and they had church. They had dinner and had church, it sounds like. These people had, they dedicated the whole day. Why they choose the first, other scriptures will confirm this, too. That they came together because the first day of the week represented the resurrection day. So they stopped celebrating the Sabbath, which was a tradition of the Old Testament, which, by the way, the New Testament gives us a whole, when we now all live in a Sabbath rest, resting in the finished work of the cross. And so instead of them saying there's a day of the Sabbath, the day of rest is still not bad. Just because it's a tradition and Jesus healed on the Sabbath, did things, he said, hey, the Sabbath is going to be different. We're changing that up. But this, so we're not saying, that's why like they say, well, we worship on the Sabbath. Well, the Bible didn't tell us to. Otherwise, we would too. It says they got together on the first day of the week to the temple. And that became the tradition of the New Testament church right there, was they began to gather together on the first day of the week to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord and to honor the apostles' teaching and to go in there. And this is what happened in the church. They began to come together, and then they went throughout the week from house to house. So this is kind of a New Testament model I want to throw at you a little bit, is that this is why we meet on the first day of the week, to celebrate the resurrection. We don't have a midnight service, which we could start, I guess, but we're going to kind of steer away from that a little bit. I think that might be a really, it'd be hard to grow a church when you're having a 12-hour service, but we can figure something out. Kendall, how long can you play up there? A while? Okay, good. We're good. We can do it. All right, you're good. But here, so let's get to this morning then. So the models look different. Traditions are a part of our service. We have to understand, how do you celebrate the resurrection of the Lord? How do we come together? And it says, come into his presence with singing. It talks about enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. And this is old, a lot of that's Old Testament, remember, because that's how they came into the tabernacle. They would come into the different layers, and they would be worshiping and praising. There's a way to get there. You'd pray, and you'd prepare yourselves, and you'd get to the place of the Holy Holies, and obviously it's a place of intimate worship. And that's the same model that heaven is set up right now. So therefore, we can appropriate that principle in the New Testament by saying we know the Old Testament knew how to worship. If you ever look at the book of Psalms, that's what the entire book, it's like blessed. I mean, the first, last 10 chapters of it is starts out with, praise thee, the Lord. Praise the Lord. Then we bless Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. And we have these blessings. This is a nonstop church that knew how to praise. And so I believe at Spirit of Life, one of the things that we want to honor and put as a high priority in this church is what I think all of the New Testament does, is that we want to honor his presence. If you would, go to Revelation chapter 4 with me. And let's believe that Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, right? Thy will be done on what? Earth as it is in heaven. So if that's the case, then, oh boy, this morning as I was overlooking my notes, I thought, where am I going to cut into this thing? Because if I read too fast, then you guys get mad because like, man, I don't understand a word you said, so I'm trying to be careful. Let's start at verse 1, and let's go for it. After I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Would you just do me a favor as I'm reading this, as you're reading it? Would you just picture what this is looking like? Because if we're going to believe that heaven is going to manifest on earth, why can't we have a throne of God in every area that we go in our lives? Why can't we honor his presence in a way that is just tangible like we're going to see here? And we're going to then join in with this later. And he sat in verse 3, and he that sat was to look upon like jasper and sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like as an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment as they had on their heads crowns of gold. 24. How many hours a day do we have? I don't think that's just a coincidence, is it? And I think it's symbolic that there's a representation for every hour of every day, worship going around the throne. And out of the throne, verse 5, proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea like a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts and full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had 6 wings upon them, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, they did not rest day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They didn't stop. Around the throne right now, as we're standing here in his word, those angels are worshiping around the throne today. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Let's get that in your spirit. Their worship is nonstop. So should ours be, but especially when we come in here, we want to honor this throne of God. We want to honor his presence. Verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor to give thanks, they sat on the throne who lives forevermore. And the 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever. And cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written within on the backsides, sealed with 7 seals, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open this book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept. This is number. I just want to stop. This is John being transported to heaven through by the Holy Spirit. In heaven with an encounter, watching these things happen as a spectator. He's watching this, and this scene was so magnificent, he says this, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither even look thereon. And one of the elders said, Weep not. Come on. Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Out of the root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. Who is that? That is our crown king. It is the King of all kings. It's the Jesus that we worship. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came and left this place victorious. And only one can touch that, and that is him and only him. That is the most amazing. So now we know that Jesus, the King of Kings, is right here on the scene. And I beheld, verse 6, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the 4 beasts and the lamb, and the midst of the elders stood a lamb. And as it has been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes with the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Wow. So he went up to the throne. And he took the book from the one on the throne. Man, what a picture this is. All right. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one on their harps and golden vials of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. So our prayers, that's a whole other teaching. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, and for thou wast slain, has redeemed us to God by thy blood and every kindred and tongue and people and every nation, and has made us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And beheld, before I go on, this is a teaching moment for you right now. When our worship leader, who is awesome, and our band, which is amazing, gets to the place where she asks you, would you just, in your own words, sing a song of the Lord? This right here is the biblical context of what we do. We sing a song to the Lord that is relevant to what he, who he is now in this place and where we're going. They sang a song that was truly only about him being the one that was able to open the book. That was the, he sang a song specific to the situation they're going through. I'm going to tell you, as a Christian and as believers, if we want to start honoring his presence, I want to encourage you that whether you're driving down the road and warfare and battles hit you, stop trying to just keep rebuking the devil and stop focusing on that. Instead, why don't you do this? Why don't you break out a praise and worship service right there in your car and create a dynamic of heaven invading earth and challenging every demon and every foe that comes your way by the presence of God, and not just you trying to muster up strength and go, I got to pray this one through. How about this? How about praise it through? How about worship it through? Let's honor his presence, not just here on Sunday mornings, but let it become a lifestyle where our praise and our worship is a part of who we are, that it's no longer, I mean, granted, I don't yell at demons anymore. We just tell them to go. There's some amazing books. Lester Summerall probably is one of the, and I know the family here that was a part of that ministry. But he's written some of the best books on demons because he never allow the demon to have any place. You know, the story, the book by him, how to cast out demons or something. The very first chapter, he tells this story that I love so much. And I'm on a tangent again, but that's okay. We're good. And that is, he said he was in his room one night praying. It was either after a meeting or something. I'm sure I've shared the story multiple times, I know. And while he was there, he was in bed, and his bed began to shake. And now some of you don't freak out. Yes, demons do have some power here on earth. And they moved his bed. And instead of getting fearful, which I know people here that knew Lester Sumrall, obviously you did. I would have loved to have met him because a man that just, I'm sitting in my bed. If my bed starts moving and shaking, I'm going to start moving and shaking too. I'm like, hey, hold on. I didn't pay for this ride. I'm out of here. Instead, he says, hey, in the name of, get out of here. And as the demons were departing, he said, whoa. Get back here and put my bed back where it belongs. Read it. It's in his book. Don't you want to deal with demons that way? Rather than sitting here and going, oh, come on. Oh, we got to fight this. There's no fight. Hallelujah. We already won the battle. Why don't we praise our way through instead? Hallelujah. The Lamb that was victorious has given me victory in this situation. There ain't no devil gonna overcome this. My marriage is gonna be healthy. My kids are gonna grow up in the Lord. And even though they might be not looking like saved now, but God who rescued me can also rescue them. Let's make our prayer of faith a prayer of worship for them. Let's start praising God right now that our kids are going to walk the way that God's called them. I was at a baby dedication when I was in Florida, and I learned something that I think, sorry for all those kids that were dedicated here. Y'all got gypped. No, you didn't. It was good. But we're going to do what he did there was so cool. He just would pray. And again, their church had like from here to there full of people lined up as they went from one by one. It's a little bit, but he prayed this prayer of faith over every one of them. And he turned around and goes, that was a great time. We pretty much had church. And he goes, stop. I want to tell you something right now. And I like Keith Moore. He just said, I want to tell you. Some of you think, man, we just wasted 30 minutes. He said, oh, no, we didn't. You know what I'm seeing right now? I'm seeing that prayer of faith that you all received. That I see at age 16, your child avoiding a car accident because the God that protects them is going to continue. I see a child that was working out with other friends and playing, and what could have killed them, the angel of the Lord interceded behind because our children are covered by the word of the Lord. And so next time you think we wasted time, our prayer of faith is going to sustain these kids so they become adults and they're going to walk the way of the Lord. You know, that prayer of faith moved me. Because I was like, well, you know what? That's a good way of looking at it. I know we do the dedications, but that prayer of faith. So anyone who dedicated their child right now, I'm giving you a second shot, even if I did it, okay? Come on, man. Every prayer that you pray over, a prayer of faith, that my child will walk in the way of the Lord. My child is protected by the hand of God because he gave us victory and he gave us authority over our homes. And so we command the blessing of the Lord to be upon our children. Amen? That prayer of faith. And I'm going to believe now with you, as I did with Brother Keith down there. You know what? That's it. My kid, it's nice. My son showed up for church for the first time in like, you know, 3 months. But he's in college. But he came home for the weekend for the wedding. And, you know, I don't see him. And he called a couple weekends ago. Hey, Dad, I think we're going to go up to Purdue with some friends. Do you know what? Let me tell you a little secret. I have no idea where the kid's at all anymore because he doesn't live here. So he doesn't need our permission. He's supposed to be informing us. But here's what I thought. My son can do anything right now because he's outside of my covering. But he's not outside of God's. I don't care where your kids are right now. I don't care if they're walking with. They are not outside of God's. You continue to speak and declare the word of blessing over them. I am so far off topic right now. Oh, my. But that's a good. Isn't that good, though? That's good. Thank Keith Moore for that. But I just believe us. We need to learn to focus our warfare different. We need to learn to focus our worship different, where it becomes a central part of every part of who we are. Our worship should make a lasting atmospheric change in every situation we're in. And now, well, we're going to get to that. Now we're going to talk about verse 11, what I want to see right here at church on Sunday mornings. You ready for that? All right, verse 11. And I beheld, I heard the voice. I know I've preached this before, and I probably ought to get some something in my voice so I don't lose it here. And I behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. How many do you think many is? Anybody want to do that without cheating and knowing the text? A couple, you know, 50, 100? Oh, boy. These around the throne, and the beasts and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I think we're talking about millions right here. I'm thinking we're talking about an atmosphere in heaven that has millions of people worshiping. And imagine, it was pretty quiet. We're going to keep reading because I'm going to contradict that statement too. So we're talking about not just a few, but we're talking about multitudes of people. And as they're coming together, saying, with a loud voice. I don't need you to shout me down. I don't need you to shout out the worship team. I don't need it. But sometimes there is a secret that when you get out of your spirit, up out of your mouth, the word of victory, you experience victory. You can have mental ascent all day long. I know I'm victorious. Hallelujah. Praise God. No, come on. With a loud voice, our God has gone up with a shout, it says in the book of Psalms. He didn't do it. Why is God shouting? I don't know. Because we can't hear him? Maybe that could be it. But it's a shout as a form of victory. I mean, last week, a couple weeks ago, so it's been a few weeks since our kicker here at the Indianapolis Colts, but when he was sitting there, I know, bad topic. Hey, don't run. I'm a Lions fan. Hello. We got bigger problems. We have a whole problem with the team. At least the Colts have a good team. So this guy kicked, and all of a sudden, as soon as he starts following through, not last week or the week before, but the week before that, okay, remember, think about the week he won it. As he sits back there with a 49-yard field goal, man, he just missed the one earlier, he missed the extra point, what's he going to do? And all of a sudden, gets in motion, and he gets that leg, and as soon as it got off his foot, everybody in the stadium and everyone on TV saw that. Oh, thank God it went straight. But what happened? As soon as you knew that ball was going through that upright, people began to shout, "Woo! Yes!" And they'd get high fives and screaming and shouting, right? But that's impressive. We can't do that at church. Why would we do that about our God? I mean, after all, he's only the king of the universe, and he lives inside of us, and he ought to be worshiped and praised. Why are we so timid when it comes to worship? That's just not my style. Really? I'm going to videotape you next Colts game then. Or you know, some of you right now, I understand that IU's got a pretty good football team next year, and my team goes there next weekend, and it's going to be a good game. I want to, you know, and I'm already right now going, oh boy, they wallop Michigan State. Now you got these two teams coming together, both wanting to win. You know what? There's going to be some yelling and shouting. I guarantee it. Some of you IU fans, I'm probably guessing if you end up on top, I'm going to get my phone blowing up off the hook. I guarantee it. You guys are so great to me. It's great being a Michigan fan in this area. That's where I'm from, in case you're visiting. That's where my home 20-something years ago. That's where I grew up. But you know what? There's a lot of shouting and screaming, but I want to hear it. I don't need to hear it at church, but you need to release it, because with a loud voice, and what do they do with that loud voice? Just shout it and say, woohoo! With a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and blessing and honor and glory. And every creature which is heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying. Is that us? That includes us, doesn't it? Does that mean that the choir of millions, we get to add to it? I'm liking this. Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne, the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said amen, and the four and 24 elders fell to the down and worshiped him that lives forevermore. I know I probably spent way more time than my notes allowed me. But here at Spirit Life, we're going to be making a couple changes. And one of them is this. That we want to honor God's presence in such a way that this becomes a norm. That in 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and 6 and 7, when they talk about preparing the temple and finally the glory of the Lord filling the place, and the priests couldn't even stand to give the word because the worship was just such awesome glory in the place. My hunger and my passion for the upcoming season at this church is that we will have uninterrupted, non-distracted, pressing into the presence of God church. And we're going to see the manifest presence of God in this place. And that's my passion and my heart. Along with that comes something that this is where you might want to be. This is what I was warning you about earlier. Along with that comes some changes that we're going to make. And they're not lightly. This has been 3 months of prayer. But along with that comes this. If you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit inside of you and you got a word, this church has created a culture that anything goes, everyone goes, we do whatever we want. You know, sometimes those very things are distracting our worship team and distracting others from pressing in even greater. I believe that we are to honor God's word and we're not going to despise prophecy. No way. But on Sunday mornings, if you have a word and you are feeling very compelled, write it down. Write the thing down and just believe that God. And then there is going to be a way. You come up and share it with us. That's fine. But on Sunday mornings, a great example is last week. Deborah Smith came up to me during worship, and she said, I got something I want to share with you. And she shared with me an awesome testimony of what happened back there in children's ministry. If you're here, it was awesome. And I asked her, thank you. If you don't mind, have a seat. Let me pray about it. And she did, and she was good. That testimony was not to be released during worship. It would have been a distraction for you. I'm glad you have a great testimony, but that's not the time to give your testimony, is during worship. You see that? Because even though it's a good word, is it going to block us from going deeper into things of the presence of God? I'm not asking you to stop, but I want us to be spirit. We're a spirit-filled church. And yet, we also, Bible says, let everything done. Same chapter, it talks about the gifts of spirit. Same chapter, chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, tongues, interpretation, let everything be done in decency and order. The order is what God puts out there for us. And we've prayed a lot about this. And I want our worship leader and our team to have the utmost freedom to flow on Sunday mornings to go where God calls them to go first. I'm not saying it's not important what you have. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying they're the ones that God appointed to lead this place first. And we can add to it. We can be a part of it. And we're not saying you can't. I'm saying on Sunday mornings, our heart is to go and have this experience that we're reading about happen here. Would that not be awesome, folks? Another reason is we're opening up some opportunities we're going to talk about next week. On Tuesday nights, we're going to have encounter night every month now. No longer is going to be every couple months. Why? Because that's going to be more of an opportunity for people to release some of those words that God's given you, and it's going to be monthly. We're also going to have some other things on Tuesdays that Diane is leading, and we're going to have corporate prayer, some intercessory prayer. We're going to have a time of teaching and prayer. We're going to have more opportunities to be a part of these things where God can release those words through you in other avenues also. And it doesn't mean we're not going to ever do it here on Sundays. It means our priority is to honor God's presence. And I hope all of you respect that. If you have any questions, I am not by any means one to quench the Holy Spirit. I am, though, one to honor his presence. It's all God, right? Holy Spirit, God, same. Jesus, they're all the same. I want to honor God's presence in such a way that we can go to the throne and just enjoy it. You know, I envision, just bear with me for a minute. I envision on Sunday mornings our worship leader knowing there's no distractions, being able just to stand there and go, let's wait upon the Lord right now. And a holy hush, because we're all waiting, because we've prepared ourselves. We've done our job, responsibility, by coming in the right way to the throne. And wouldn't it be awesome, folks? I've been a part of this, in this building. We're out of the throne. Starts the manifestation of the presence of God. And miracles happen as we're sitting here. In the midst of our worship, God manifests himself. And I'm not saying he can't do it through you, but why not give God a chance just to do it supernaturally for a while? Why not rest in his presence? And if you're believing for something, stand there in his presence and receive it by faith. I'm not here to quench. I'm here to go deeper in the things of God. As a church, I want to see this church honor his presence in such a mighty way. If you have questions, I'm going to move on. Ask us, Amy, Kenny, myself, any other leaders that were part of the group. Ask them there is a unity in this heart cry. We want and we long for the presence of God. And we want to see God manifest his power, his presence right here on Sunday mornings. The second thing we have to do, which I'm running out of the clock now, is we want to honor his word. And so as we do that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 says this, and it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord," and I actually wrote a different version out here because I knew that I like King James, that's my version, so don't change it. But another version said this, "that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and that it may be honored the way it is among you." So another one, that might be glorified, that it might be honored. I want a time where this right here, I believe in that prophecy can be outside of this. But I believe this right here is God's word. Everything in here is accurate. It's God's word. It's inspired. 2 Timothy 3, it's God breathed. He breathed it through the author, whether it was Paul or any of the other 40-something authors. He breathed it over a 1,500-year period. He breathed these words. Not one contradiction. Not one error. I can go back. The Book of Mormon has over 7,000 errors when they put it together. 7,000. Oops. I guess God had a bad day that day. His grammar just was terrible. I mean, grammar errors. I mean, it doesn't matter what book you go through, there are contradictions and errors, but there's none in this one. This is God's word, and I want to honor this right here. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show yourself as one approved, a workman who's not ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." I want to be a church that it lives out 2 Timothy 2:15, that lives out 2 Timothy 3:16, where that God's word is good for reproof and doctrine and teaching. That this word right here is to be honored among everything. We honor his presence, but you can't just honor his presence without honoring his word. John chapter 4, I talked about last week, about those that worship me must what? Worship me in spirit and truth. You know what? I'm excited that they call me charismatic Pentecostal, but here's the deal. I was listening to a sermon this week on a radio station, local, and I heard this preacher never open his Bible one time. All he did was shout a bunch of Old Testament cliches, "And the Lord said, let my people go!" And he's screaming, "That's the church in there!" For 5 minutes, he screamed, "Let my people go." And I thought, well, I got that. That's good scripture. Where's the other ones? Or we got others, which I was listening to on the way. I had a long drive home last night. I ended up driving down to, those that know, Ferdinand, Indiana. I was down there last night, driving home about 6 o'clock this morning. And as I was driving, I was listening to this teacher, and I've been reading some stuff that I like to read, stuff that I don't agree with, but I was watching this preacher on YouTube last night, and I'm not going to mention his name because I don't really care about it, but he's part of this emergent church, which is a really bad, bad, bad thing. And as he was teaching, I watched him, and he was over in England as he was kind of trashing our president, I'm like, well, that's, you're a preacher, and you're like, this man never opened a Bible one time. He talked about climate change. He talked about, politics. He talked about everything but God's word. And I thought, thank you for reaffirming to me the vision that we have for this church. You just reaffirmed to me that without this, there's no power. Without God's word, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. If we go there, actually, let's just go. Yeah, let's go to Hebrews 4. I'm sorry, God. I can't stop it. It's like, if you're going to read his word, it's got notes. So this is just such a great chapter. It's just, wow. So let's, remember I just talked about earlier about the rest for the season of the people of God? This is the New Testament Sabbath that we are to rest in the finished work of the cross. And so it says, so verse 10, we're going to start there. Thanks, computer person, for letting me just do whatever. "For he that entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works as God did from his." So once you're resting in him, trusting in his complete work, you're now not trying to make it happen yourself, you're trusting him. "Let us then labor, do our part, therefore to enter that rest, lest any man fall in the same example of unbelief," which we talked about in all the previous chapters about the children of Israel being hardened and walking in unbelief, which is a lack of faith or rebellion. Verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Whoa. Folks, Paul says later, if you judge yourself, you don't have to worry about coming judgment down the road. Who is our judge? The Word of God. He is our judge. Isn't the Word a person? I am the way, the truth. I am, He is the Word. The truth Himself is a person embodied in Jesus. And this Word that comes from God to us is actually the manifestation of Jesus, of God, through this written Word. And He says, my Word goes forth, and I can cut through and discern all these things, bone, marrow, soul, spirit, which is almost impossible. And I even have my Word judge the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want to see if you're walking right? See what the Word says about it. What does the Word say about sex outside of marriage, pornography, homosexuality, murder, lust, all these things? What does the Bible say about it? It's pretty clear. Let the Lord speak through His Word truth. And I want to honor at this place, this church, His Word more than any other opinion. I was listening to a preacher this week. And I don't even know the guy's name because the radio station cut out. Because when you start driving south, you get in dead man's land out there on I-69. You're like, okay, I got nothing. Hope I don't. And I always, every time I pray, okay, fuel gauge full, phone service dead. Okay, let's just keep driving. No, let's just got to make it past Washington, Indiana, and I'll make it again. Okay, I'm dead to civilization for about 25 minutes. It's awesome. I mean, no phone calls or nothing. So I'm listening to this preacher, and he was. Someone who didn't agree with me theologically, but that's okay. But he's doing this awesome teaching. And he said, I want to tell you something. We're talking about God's Word and honoring His Word. Because he's talking about the emergent church, as I tell you, I was doing something. He said, I believe I come to you with humility and gentleness of heart. And I believe I'm coming to you with truth. But don't ever, ever stop being like a Berean in Acts 17. It says, be like the Bereans were of noble character, for they examined the scriptures daily to see if what Paul said was true. If the Bereans are going to examine God's word to make sure Paul was right, every one of you, whether you're leaving a men's group, a women's group, a Sunday morning service, a Tuesday night meeting, a Wednesday night meeting, or you're going to another church, I guarantee you better go make sure it's right here before you believe it. I will do my best, Kenny, or whoever else is filling this pulpit. We will do our best to pray and seek the Lord to bring His word to you every week. But every once in a while, I'm a squirrely guy, and I put my opinion there and realize, oh, that might not have been God's word. That might have been Adam's word. And you know what? You need to throw that thing in a trash can and realize that's not God's word. Now, if you want my opinion, we can come talk later. I don't mind giving it, but that doesn't belong in God's word. It's not the same caliber. God's word never fails. God's word doesn't come back void. And Jeremiah says that, right? Isaiah 55. God's word goes forth and does not ever return void. God's word is powerful. Okay, I got to hurry. Oh, man. Psalms 103, verse 20 says this. It says that, I just added this one, so don't worry. I pull it up on here so it'd be quicker. I got all these different versions on it. It says this, bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do commandments, hearkening to the voice of whose word? The Word. It's God's word speaking. But I knew it. Mark, I told you I wasn't going to do this the whole time. Last night during that wedding, somehow the clip was gone. So Mark said, wrap it around your head a few times. I probably should. He means well, really. I can't. Okay. You just wrap it around. Okay, I get it. It didn't work back there. I worshiped back there a little bit today just because I was just watching y'all. No, I was just wanting to stay back there a bit. God's word goes forth, and the angels of the Lord are performing His word. Not your word, not your opinion. The angel of the Lord is being hearkened to the word of the Lord. And you want angels interceding? You want angels doing warfare? Whatever the angels are doing right now on our behalf right now, I want to make sure they keep doing it. Why? Because I'm going to keep speaking the word of God out there. And they are taking the word and they're performing it. In the book of Daniel, we see this awesome story that I'm going to have to cut really short now. But he says, the angel said, hey, listen, the minute you prayed, I was dispatched to go. But how many days was it? 21 days. How many go, there's patience, and then there's 21-day patience. I prayed, and God didn't hear me. Oh, He heard you. But that angel said, I was wrestling through, I was warring on your behalf for the last 21 days, and I'm here right now. You know, God's word was released, and it even took 21 days for the angel to go, God's word is going to come to pass one way or other. It will not come back void. And even the angel Lord is being dispatched to his word. And that's what we're longing for right now. Sorry, I'm getting too emotional, excited. I start moving my hands, and I need to stop this. Okay, let's just get it. All right, my bad. Let's get to point number three so we can end. I apologize. I am excited today because this is not only the vision of God for his word, the worship, but now let's honor one another. So we honor his presence, we honor his word, and now one of the things that we have been very inconsistent with at this church, and most of it's my fault, right here. I come here excited to bring the word. And I do have a very strong, if you haven't noticed, I have a very strong word of faith background. That's what I like. That's what I study. And so a lot of times the things I hear are at the end of the sermon, we have some prayer of faith and declaration. We want you to agree, stand, and get out of here. But you know what? I don't want you to really get out of here. I want you to, you know, say hi to somebody, then leave. That's fine because you can't stay here. It doesn't work. But I would like to see something change. This morning is about creating a new culture. If you give me an extra few minutes this morning, I'm running behind, I know. We're creating a new culture at this church. A culture that I long for, and I think we all long for, is to take the time to honor God's word, to take the time to honor God's presence. But also, every single week, we are going to end this service like we will in just a few minutes, allowing God's people to be ministered to. I have been somebody who just feels like, hey, we pray it, let's go, release it by faith, let's go, move on. And I honestly, if you know my prayer life, that's how I am anyways. Someone told me the other day, hey, honey, you're looking down. But she said, man, our family member was going through a situation. She said, I was praying so hard. I go, I wonder what that means to her. Not that it's bad. We all use those things, right? She was in depth in her heart praying for the situation. It's weird. Throughout the day, as I was being reminded of what they were going through, I said, in the name of Jesus, I just release whatever word came to me at that moment. Now, which one prayed harder? We just prayed different. It doesn't make us wrong or right, but I'm wired that way. I just release a word and I'm done. Now, when I'm worshiping, when I'm praying before the Lord and I get my one-on-one time, I mean, sometimes God, I can almost hear the Lord go, okay, be quiet. You're going to let me have a chance. I mean, those are some of those moments. But when I'm praying for people, I don't use a lot of words because I don't know them. Romans 8:26 says this, for we don't know how to pray as we ought to, but the Holy Spirit himself intercedes with us, groanings too deep for intelligible words. Sometimes I don't know what to pray, so I pray in the Spirit over y'all. I hear something going on, I pray in the Spirit. I got a phone call last Saturday, someone goes, I need to pray for me. And all week, for some reason, this guy isn't going to church here or nothing. He's been in my heart all week, and I'm praying. Every time I think of it, I start praying in the Spirit for him. Last night, I'm driving through the back roads on 231. Like, this guy came in my heart, I start praying in the Spirit for him. Well, I don't know the word, but God does. So our prayer life might look different, but it's still got passion. But we've got to start learning how to love one another better. Encouraging one another and honoring one another. But honoring you at this church, I'm making a commitment to you as leader and other leaders here. We're going to do a better job committed to honoring you at this church too. Every single Sunday morning, we want to let you know that if you have never had a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I want you, what you're also going to find out is if we're going to make a better impact in our community, I also believe that someone coming in the doors of this church, the church that I'm describing to you right now, I want to bring my friends to. I want to bring my neighbors to it because they're going to be in God's presence. They're going to experience the awesomeness of his presence. They're going to be in God's word, and they're going to leave going, I want more. I want a hunger. There's a hunger inside of me. I want more. And that is it. We're not here to be seeker sensitive. We're not here to be friendly this. We're here to honor God's word, honor God's presence, and mostly at the end of it all, once you honor him, we want to honor you guys too. So if you would, James chapter 5, which you're only one book away if you're still in Hebrews. And I can't preach just the way I want to because I really am going to try to respect the clock way better than I have so far. So it's been a while, Kenny. I told you, I'm 6 minutes past right now, our new time, sorry. We're also going to try to leave more time at the end for people too, which I'm not doing a good job at right now. So verse 13 of chapter 5. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And I don't have time to preach this because it's a really good. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Now look at the next verse. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So here's my heart. At the end of every church service, I want to start exercising James chapter 5 and practice it on a weekly basis. Is there? And by the way, I hope the answer is no. Okay, just let you know, because I'm believing we're going to be victorious. But if there isn't, if the answer is not no right now, and there is sick, and you're feeling attacked and assaulted by the devil in your physical bodies or your spiritual or whatever, you're being attacked, I want you to have enough faith with us that you'll get out of your chair and you'll walk up to here and you'll let someone. It says the prayer of faith shall save you. It'll heal you. That's going to require you to be humble, to lower the pride and say, listen, I need something this morning. And there's people up there that has been anointed by God to pray for me and to release the prayer of faith over me. And they're going to stand in agreement with me. And we're going to see me walk out of here healed and set free. And there's also a time that maybe you're struggling with sin in your life. And it says this, confess your faults one to another. Maybe, just maybe, you're really struggling, and it's about time for you to kick this thing to the curb for the last time. You know what helps you a lot? When you stop fighting alone. Secret sins can destroy us. But coming up before there and say, listen, I know you don't know me, but I've been struggling with an area of my life. If you don't feel, again, depends on the trust level you have, I've been struggling with sin in my life, and I really need to confess it. And I give you 100% assurance, everyone we put up on this altar team will be 100% confidential. You can trust them. And they're going to pray with you. And then they're going to believe with you that God will conquer this area in your life and walk with it. I want to be a church that honors people in this place. 2 Timothy, the last thing we will be doing, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says this. If you have it up there, we'll read up there because y'all are ready for it. 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy 1. Hey, listen to her. She knows what she's doing. Wherefore I put in thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by how? The putting out of my hands. Next verse, please. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That power, love, and a sound, that's the spirit of God inside you. But the verse before it says this, don't forget, stirring up the gifts of God by the laying out of hands. Some of you right now just need to be stirred up on a weekly basis. And just the best thing to do is get out of your chair, walk up here and say, listen, I'm feeling a little bit down. I want to get stirred up. Would you pray for me? Would you lay hands on me this morning and just release something over me that would just stir my heart again? Maybe you need to be stirred. Maybe you need to confess sin. Maybe you need to get healed. Or maybe you just want to come up here and worship. Either way, the new release vision that I want to give you this morning, how Spirit Life wants to do a better job equipping people on Sunday mornings, is we're going to honor God. Worship team, you can come on up here. Thanks. We can honor God's presence. We can honor God's word. And by opening up this time at the end here, we can honor everyone that comes in this place. I want you to be able to bring your friends and your family. And I want you to know at the end of service, not only will they have a great worship encounter, not only will I hope and pray they hear the word of God, but I hope and pray that if they're going through something, you might be able to walk them down this altar. Remember the good old days, the Browns Revival. I went down Pensacola. I went down there when I was single back then, so I could just go down there whenever I had the weeks off or whatever I did. I'd go down there, and the old Pentecostal days, it was like, hey, if you're not going through it, your neighbor is. Bring them down here. You know what? I think that day might come again soon. You're bringing somebody with you, and you're thinking, you know what, God? And it better be God, by the way, not you. Let's make that clear. God's telling me, no. Make sure it's the Lord. If I walk up there with you today, would you have them pray for you? And there'll be a chance every single week from this day forward for you to receive that. Did you all receive that vision this morning? I hope you do. It's my heart. It's our leadership. It's the leadership of this. It's our heart that we honor God's presence. And we're not quenching the Spirit. Instead, we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to move greater in His presence and in His Word. And we're going to honor Him by honoring you. Father, I pray that this word today would just ignite a fire inside every one of us, that as a church, we want to go deeper in you and your word. We can't separate the two. It's your word and your presence that we want to see manifest in this place. And then at the end of service, we can see it activated in this place by the laying out of hands, the releasing of your word to transform our lives in such a way that changes us as we walk out of this place, that we wouldn't just have church, but we would have an encounter with you every single week, that your presence would be manifest in our lives as we come in and as we leave, in Jesus' name.